Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie J.J. Johnson, and I'm joined by...
someone who's been lost in time and space! Where the hell have we been?
Are you the doctor?
I am! Somehow, see, the only way I can actually fit inside the TARDIS is because it actually is bigger on the inside, and my ass is huge. And it's handicap friendly.
Or maybe you're Marty McFly.
Or maybe that's true. Man, you know
those
what?
Those cards are a bitch to get into, though.
But say, I cannot picture squeezing my fat ass into a DeLorean. So if I ever need to go into a high-speed chase, if there's ever a high-performance sports car, you know what? The bad guy's getting away. I'm just saying. Fuck him. So yeah, we're back after like a month. But then again, hey, you know what? It's summer vacation for us.
It hasn't entirely been a month, I don't think. And we did a couple shows back-to-back for E3, so we made up for it. It's fine.
I think so, and...
we were going to have a really cool topic.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
But then something horrible happened, so we changed topic to be more relevant and to pay our respects.
Absolutely. So, as you may have heard, on July 11th, Nintendo's president Satoru Iwata... had passed away.
Butchered the heck out of his
whatever. I'm sorry. I can't pronounce a lot of foreign names for whatever reason.
Either way.
Yeah. So Mr. Iwata had passed away. And it was due to a bile duct growth, which is actually something my family's dealing with right now. So hopefully this won't end this terribly.
I don't know exactly what that is because I'm not a medical student, but it sounds horrible.
It's not good. It's not good.
And I actually had I got a friend that's a doctor now, and he's very big into the video games as well. And he's like, that's not a fast death. So he's probably been dealing with that for quite a while, which one of the E3s recently, he was not able to attend because of his health. So it probably was related to this, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that it happened so soon after E3, considering we saw him, Reggie, and Miyamoto as Muppets this year, I thought was actually kind of funny.
It was entertaining, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, I'm so sad, though, that, you know, he's gone. And I saw some people, just the outpouring of respect for him last night. I mean, even PlayStation... had jumped on this. They said, thank you, Mr. Iwata, for all your contributions. I've got a number of high-profile game journalists on my list. I saw people like Victor Lucas had said something. Jeff Keighley had like posted something. I'm pretty sure Angry Joe had said something. So
I'm sure just about everyone has said something. Because, I mean, he was a very large influence to the game industry. Well, and he died real young, too. Wasn't it 55?
55, yeah. Like, he's definitely under 60. And in this day and age, that's considered fairly young. And like you said, it's not a slow death, which is... it's not a quick death, which is unfortunate. And the fact that he'd stayed so positive the whole way through, I think really says something about his like character.
Well, and he's also, you know, kept a hand within the company and made sure everything's continued the way he's wanted it to this entire time, as far as I know.
Well, from what I've read on him, and I will admit I haven't exactly given him the James Lipton treatment in terms of research, like, basically I don't know his entire history from birth to death, but...
You don't know when he last pooped?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not TMZ with his life, but... he's the guy who, under his watch, when Nintendo wasn't doing so well, he cut his salary in half to make sure nobody would lose their jobs. That's huge. That's
a hell of a president,
man. My God. Yeah, I mean, when the 3DS wasn't doing so hot, he's like, you know what? Let's do something for the gamers and the people under him. And that's something he's always gone on the record to say. That it's like, guys, it may say president and CEO on my business card, but at the end of the day, I'm a gamer. Now, I know I'm paraphrasing that, because he said it a lot more succinctly than I ever could.
And probably said it way better.
Well, it wasn't something very long either. I mean, it's basically what I just said, and I'm thinking that's pretty legit, because you know what? When I look at, say, let's look at Bill Gates for Microsoft, I'm sure he plays a game here and there. I see Major Nelson more as the head of Microsoft, but it's not. It's Phil Spencer. For PlayStation, hell if I know. I just know the guy from the commercials. And he's not even there anymore with Nintendo. You say Iwata, yeah, that's the president of Nintendo. And he's only the fourth one in the history of that company, and he's the only one who didn't come from that family background with the company. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even
want to
say their name.
Yoshimitsu and or something like that. I'm sorry, guys. Like I said, I can't pronounce these names. Tatsumitsu Kishimura, I think is how it's pronounced. I think I learned that from Norm Caruso, the gaming historian, I think. In fact, actually on Twitter, he was talking... Norm, the gaming historian, is actually going to put together a video on Mr. Iwata at some point. Because his videos are extremely well-researched. Like, if you support anybody on Patreon, he'd probably be one of the people I would. But anyway, kind of moving on here. Yeah, I mean, Iwata's career began in the 80s. He'd worked on things for the VIC-20, the MSX. And it turns out he actually worked on some of my favorite games as a kid, which this really, really surprised me. He worked on Air Fortress, which came out of HAL Laboratories. And that's the game where you fly around on this little air scooter, then you go inside, then you're like this little yellow spaceman, and you're trying to defeat these giant military installations. And I just thought the game was unbelievably badass. He was the technical advisor and a producer for that game.
It started out as just like a really talented programmer in HAL Laboratories. And that was in the 1980s when he started, I believe. He became director of that company, of HAL Laboratories.
In the 90s, I think?
No, it was 2000-ish. And then, like, drastically right after that, I think it was like 2002, 2003, he got pulled into Nintendo and became the fourth president. I think he was appointed director of something first and then pulled in as the president.
Well, from what I can tell, it looks like...
the ladder quick.
Well, yeah, from what I can tell, like, he became president of HAL in the 90s. And he started working on Super Nintendo games. And one of his babies, this one... Where do I even begin to start with this one? Earthbound. He was the programmer, he was the director, he was the co-producer. He did a lot on that game. He even worked on the, like, Pokemon games as well.
Like, he had a hand in, like, Balloon Fight.
Kirby,
which is, like, one of the biggest things. He may not have actually created Kirby. That was Naoki, I think? Yeah, but... It was his push for a game that would be easily accessible by anyone and beatable by anyone, like, that actually caused the concept and creation of Kirby. So, like, he had a large hand in that. And, like, it's... It's just really sad.
And if you look
it's
over...
It's a sad show.
It really is, because you really think about it, because this guy came into the company in the very early 2000s. He'd had like a 12 or 13 year career there at least. And you think about how much Nintendo has changed, because if you look at when you and I grew up with Nintendo in the 80s and 90s, it was king, right? And then the PlayStation came along, and then, you know what, not so much.
It knocked them down a peg. Like, from Nintendo 64, they just kind of got knocked down. And then when he came in, I believe it was 2003 is about the end of N64, the beginning of GameCube.
In and around there, yeah.
From all of the research I've done, basically, ever since he became president, it's just been a ramp up. And then the DS, which was basically one of the first handhelds that he was entirely like president for every part of it, and the Wii, which both just like the Nintendo DS is probably one of the, I believe it might actually be the highest like sold handheld in history. And the Wii, like, as much as we're always like, oh, it's a gimmick and blah blah, because we're gamers. That was so successful that it put Nintendo right back up there. I believe they even went into first, like, out of the three companies for a while there because of the Wii. And all of that's because of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, when he had that dip because of the 3DS's launch and, you know, they kind of had a bad time there. But he just rectified it by being like, I'm going to take a 50% pay cut to make sure that our fans, our investors, just everybody was happy. I'm the only one that's getting screwed over because I don't care. I'm a gamer and, you know, it's only money.
Well, it's, to me, it means something. It means that he believes in what he's doing. He's not just some guy sitting at the top of the corporate seat of power, like, and just, hey, minions, go do my work. Mwahahaha, twirly
mustache.
Go
do stuff so I can make money. No, he was like,
he's one of us.
He tried to have his hand in as many of the projects as possible. Like, for the GameCube, when it was coming out, he heavily helped with Wind Waker, Legend of Zelda, and Metroid, and the whichever Mario it was. Was it Galaxy?
For what?
GameCube.
No, that was Sunshine.
Sunshine, that's all. He heavily had a hand in there, helping them out with each of those games, which are like the major titles of that console and some of the best titles on that console. So he was that kind of president that I'm sure everyone at Nintendo is probably like, rather than having just this guy with a title dying, they lost a comrade. They lost somebody that's
a real friend.
Yeah, like a real friend. So
I mean, he seems like the kind of guy who literally would take time out of his day to do something. If he's not busy, he would do something. Actually, in fact, there's actually a story I retweeted on Twitter last night that an airline attendant had from him. So just give me a sec to find it. This was found in the comments section on Yahoo. Just got to find it, so just give me a second. Where is it?
Well, while you're doing that, yeah. There's actually, I'll bring up the thing that we were talking about before while you're searching. The gaming community is actually putting up a petition to try to get an amiibo of Iwata made, have Nintendo make an amiibo in his likeness. And we're going to put a link in our, you know, the usual link box. And because we believe in this as well, I think it would be a really great collectible and a great memorial to someone that did something so great.
Now, in my opinion, Nintendo should have this because to avoid the supply problem and the scalping problem, because you know someone's going to be a scumbag and take advantage. In fact, I've already seen one company try and take advantage of this already. They shall remain nameless because, you know what, I'm not a dickbag. But you should have the ability to order from Nintendo directly, and a portion or at least a significant amount of every sale should go directly to the type of his cancer research or something.
That's a good idea.
Like, this could be a huge public relations thing for Nintendo, not just to, I wouldn't even say the word profit off his death, but to make his death mean something to the world. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that'd be pretty cool. In fact, one of the neater things that I saw is, you know how with the Wii and with the 3DS, you can have the option to make a QR code?
Yeah.
I've seen so many Awadas passed around last night. It was amazing. In fact, I need to check my like 3DS today to see if he's like showing up. But anyway, here's the story. I found this. All right. I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Awada as a passenger on an airplane I was working a few years ago. I am a flight attendant for UAL. I guess that's United Airlines, I guess. He was so kind and so personal, very engaging and not the typical corporate type we normally see on our plane. Too busy to interact or engage. Not becoming critical here, just an observation after 39 years on the job. Shortly after takeoff, his iPhone slipped down the mechanism of his sleeper suite. He was so grateful and so appreciative when I was able to retrieve his cell phone, which granted was no small feat, as some of you may know, and should have the misfortune of having this happen. He was so grateful. He actually took the time to snap a photo of the two of us together, his idea, his phone, and before I even got home from working from the flight, he had sent me a personal email, our picture together, and his sincere thanks for retrieving his phone. Unbelievable that someone of his position, stature, and his no doubt busy schedule would take the time to do that. It speaks volumes to his character. I read someone else's post about him saying, "In my heart, I'm a gamer." So rare when a president of a corporation remembers his roots and embraces them. I'm so sorry to hear of his passing. In the thousands of people I have met since the course of doing my job, he still stands out as being the truly special individual. Although it was several years ago, I still remember him well. I know his cell phone was important to him. We all remember the loss when we've misplaced our own. But it wasn't the cell phone which he valued most. It was the service he received. And the person who provided it, he valued and took the time to express that. Remarkable. That's the kind of guy I want making my games. That's the type of guy I want to just be involved in my hobby, my passion. Just, that's the type of guy I'd love to work for. Like, literally the fact that he was so like, you know what, I'm gonna do you a solid. No, he didn't fly off the handle in a rage when he lost his phone, because if you guys know me personally, I would have.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I get so pissed. But
flipping out, throwing chairs and everything.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a temper. But just the fact that he would do, the fact that he took time to remember this, to do his personal email, to write something to the person, that's pretty impressive. I've come across remarkably few people in my time. The only story I could even possibly compare that to is when I met Major Nelson at PAX East a couple years ago. He had a very slight idea on who I was, because we both worked for Clear Channel at the time, and he was just, he asked genuine questions, was genuinely engaged. But I never had the pleasure of meeting Awada. I've met very few people from Nintendo Corporate that weren't from Nintendo of America.
Yeah.
But still, just I think that's a really, really, really cool story about just the type of character that this guy was.
Man, it's a story I wish I had.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good story. They're going to cherish that for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact, and just to think that that person had that. The person's probably not even in our sphere. Like the person said they've been doing that job for 39 years. I'm highly doubting this person's sitting around every night playing Xbox. That's pretty impressive. The fact that that person would remember that guy's name enough to post that on a random Yahoo comment section. I think that's pretty impressive. But yeah, when you look over this guy's career as an executive producer, like, holy shit. I'm just going to read you some of the titles that he's worked on.
Hey, if you read the whole thing.
Oh my god. He's worked on Xenoblade Chronicles. He's worked on Mario Kart 7. Metroid Prime. Sin and Punishment. Star Successor. Wii Sports Resort. Punch-Out. Let me see. What's another one? Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Animal Crossing. All of them. Wii Fit. Like, holy shit. There's nothing this guy wasn't involved in some capacity as the executive producer. And this guy comes across as the type of dude, if something sucked, he would tell you, but not be an ass about it. It's like, okay, let's make this a little bit more inclusive. And that's what I wanted to really focus on. Because when this guy was taken over Nintendo, they weren't exactly at the top of their game. And they're still not, in some regards, definitely the number one handheld. Because, hey, who remembers the Vita? You have to think about that. Because when the Wii came out, I can remember so many news stories. In fact, I did one myself, and I worked for Niagara College for this. We did one where they were putting Wiis in old age homes because it got people up and gaming. And people...
gaming.
Like, it was so weird just to see people like my grandmother's age in, like, their late 60s and 70s playing Wii tennis and being legitimately really freaking good at it. I remember sitting down with old people playing Wii bowling. Hell, my in-laws, my in-law dad, is there a word for that? Fuck if I know. My in-law dad and my in-law mother, my mother-in-law, that's it, and my father-in-law. So, there's going to be letters for how stupid I am for that. Anyway, they have a Wii. They've played Wii bowling. They've kicked my ass. My God, they've kicked my ass. That's okay. When they play Brawl, I smack them. My wife's mother can kick my ass in Tetris. Hell, my grandmother legitimately could get to level 20 in Tetris and not break a fucking sweat. My God, that was scary. And she's way better at Mario than I ever hoped to be. She could beat that game one life, no death, no hit.
Huh.
Jesus. Anyway. But yeah, you look at Iwata and just how much he brought gaming forward and all the innovations. Motion control. And the like.
As far as I know, he's kind of the drive behind that entire thing, right? Like, and the other companies, even though they're competitors, they still got to respect that. And that's why, you know, you've got Sony saying, like, it sucks that he's gone. He did a lot for the industry, because he did.
Yeah, like I can't think of any other president of any other company I know by name that has done that. I mean, like, it's like, sure, motion controls were kind of a gimmick, but it did change the way we play games. It included people.
It included people that were not traditionally classed as gamers. It made everyone a gamer.
Yeah, and it even changed the way we lived our lifestyles. Because, once again, I mentioned Wii Fit. That got people up and moving. It got me up and moving. I lost 20 pounds one summer by playing Wii Boxing. Jesus, did I mess up my arms, but I totally did that.
That's your fault. That's
That's because I was throwing real punches as opposed to, well, I just have to waggle. No, if I can't punch through a wall, I'm not punching hard enough. Oh, ow, I'm just getting tendonitis thinking about it.
Can't smack the joints, man.
Yeah. And then you think about with the 3DS. Glassesless 3D. Never did I ever think I'd see the technology.
That is very true. I mean, as much as, like, whenever we did, we did a 3DS show and talked about how the 3DS, the original one, was like, this is a gimmick, this is kind of dumb. Now that they've perfected it in the new 3DS, you're like, huh, this is actually pretty crazy for technology. The fact that they have 3D without any modification to your vision, it's the console itself is doing it now.
Yeah, and the technology continues to improve because you look at the new 3DS, which just came out a couple months ago, it can track your head so you don't lose the 3D effect.
Yeah.
That's, like I said, that's quite impressive. And you look at another thing that really kind of happened under him. Look at the idea of like street passing, for example. Just carrying your thing around is now a social thing.
That's very true. I have a lot of games now where I'll literally just take my 3DS with me because I'm like, I need street passes today, man. And then it's actually funny. I actually got a couple of the different Nintendo street passes from going by a location that had them like linked to it. And I believe I got Iwata and Reggie.
I've got Reggie. I'm actually going to flip on my like 3DS right now, so I hope there's battery in it.
Probably not.
I'm going to turn this piece of shit on. There we go. I remember the first couple years I went to PAX and MAGFest, I specifically would bring my 3DS and a charger just to get street passes. because that was such a thing for me. I mean, the first year I lost my, or I lost my 3DS coming back from MAGFest one year, which was my launch one. May it rest in peace. You know what? It's probably sitting in some kid's basement somewhere. I had over 900 street passes.
I just want more puzzle pieces.
Yeah, same here. I want the puzzle. You know what I love doing? I love playing that stupid tower game. That's so much fun.
Adventure where you like fight with the street pass people?
Yeah, I freaking love that one. That one's so much fun.
It's awesome. You do get somebody that either you've met. Like, every time I come over to your place, I get your guy, and he's like super high level because every time I come, he levels up.
Yep, same here. I'm like, I got Jamie. I'm going to fuck this dude up. I love it.
Or like, when you do get a Nintendo rep, they're, like, automatically level 5, and you're just like, yeah, let's kick some ass.
Like, come on, Reggie, let's go beat the shit out of the stupid ghost.
And then the ghost does his little thing, and he gets carried and ran away, and you're like, no, Reggie, no!
But yeah, I mean, there's so much cool stuff like that that under his watch had happened. I mean, gaming, portable gaming meant something again. Like I said, because the PSP, for as wonderful a system as it was, never had the social buzz. It had cool games for it. But the Nintendo DS, for example, always had Pokemon. There was always Pokemon events. There was always something going on with that. And the fact that people have Pokemon that have leveled up with them through the generations ago, that's impressive as hell. That's not something to be overlooked.
I mean, it definitely revolved around the social aspect, and that's, in my opinion, his doing, because that's always been his kind of goal, is making games that are fun and everyone friendly and bringing people together to play games. So,
one of the things I also kind of liked about him is he changed Nintendo's presence at E3. I love the fact he does, or they did, and they will continue to do, I presume, Nintendo Directs. Give me a 20-minute or a 40-minute presentation online every couple of months to update me as to what's going on. That's bitching. That's awesome. As opposed to sitting through a presentation of, oh, look, we've seen this before. Oh, look, bleh.
Well, especially because, like, it can end up being a lot less professional and everything. You get a guy come on stage, you might forget to say something or whatever. You just plaster a video up and you're like, bam, everything we wanted you to know is there and 100% done well.
Although it kind of sucks, though, because one of the last comments Iwata made before he died was addressing fans' disappointment with their E3 showing this year. That sucks. That's the last memory he's got of us. Saying, we don't want Federation Force. We want a real Metroid. Up yours, man. Yeah, no, I don't think I want that reputation. Not like it matters now, but...
Was that the last thing you said to him? Did you tweet him that?
Yeah. Up yours, asshole. Give me proper Metroid. Oh, yeah. Where is Simon Belmont in Smash? No,
I hope not.
Yeah, oh, God. I'd be fucking martyred. Although, there were some people last night that were not so kind to him. Like I said, I'm not going to mention names. But I wasn't happy when I saw it. Luckily, this person did turn around and delete their tweets later, which, out of respect, I get that. So,
What could you possibly say about the guy?
I think it's the fact that a lot of people were outpouring support, and they're like, it's not like you knew the guy. But then again, when the right famous person dies, sometimes it hits you right in the feels. Like, for example, my celebrity death that really hit me hard was John Candy. When that happened in the 90s, because that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a comedian. I wanted to be in the movies. I wanted to be, like, that big funny guy. I didn't want to be like Chris Farley, who purely relied on physical humor, whereas John Candy could deliver the verbal jabs and make it work. Sort of thing. And that really hit me. I'm trying to think of other big deaths that have hit me.
Well, I mean, the thing is like, with people pouring out the fact that, you know, he's gone and being upset with it, it's not entirely that, oh, I knew the guy, so I feel, like, shitty that he's gone. It's more like, he did so much for us, we don't know what's going to happen next because he's gone, and that sucks. Like, they still haven't announced, well, as far as right now, my last look on the internet, they have not announced what exactly is going to happen, like who's taking over as president.
Oh, they won't make an announcement for at least a week or two.
I know Yoshida and there's two of the bigger guys. They're going to be handling everything until somebody's chosen. But it's kind of like he did so much over those years. What's going to happen next? Are we going to get somebody that's going to make everything even better? Are they going to bring us back to the Nintendo 64 age and they're going to go downhill? Like, we don't know what's going to happen to Nintendo.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I hope whoever gets put in charge next is one of us, respects the community as much as he did. And I really want that Iwata amiibo in my house, because, like I said, I think that'd be a fitting tribute to him. I really do. And I really hope when everything settles that he makes a special appearance in the Mi Plaza on our 3DSs, or stops by our Wii U's as a sort of a farewell tour. And let's kind of close this out. Final thoughts. I didn't know you personally, Mr. Iwata, but I've definitely seen your influence over my career as a game journalist. I've seen how you've really brought the social aspect to gaming, got people moving who weren't necessarily in the position to move. Like I said, putting the Wii in old age home, I think it's great. Seeing kids get excited about bringing their 3DSs or DSs around and getting street passes and stuff like that. I think that's incredible. And the fact that you made so many people happy, so many people knew your name, that's incredible. And people spoke your name with respect. Very rarely did I hear anybody talk about Iwata badly. So thank you. And, well, I guess, as they say, thank you for playing.
And from me, I'm pretty much in the exact same boat as you with everything you just said. The fact that I even knew his name, because I'm really bad with names. Like my girlfriend can attest, the fact that every time we're watching a movie or something, or if she's just brings up a name in conversation, I'm like, who's that? And she says what they played in, like what character they were. I'm like, oh, okay. But I knew his name. I knew who he was. I can't say that about, like, the Sony president. I don't know who he is. It's Microsoft, you could say Bill Gates. I know who he is, but I don't believe he's actually the guy in charge of Xbox. I don't know who is. I knew who he was. I knew what he did, and I knew what he stand for, and I agreed with all of it. So it really sucks that you're gone, and I hope that whoever they get to replace him will cared as much as he did about the games and the gamers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I really think he did so much for us. So that brings our tributes and conversation about Iwata to an end. Next week's show, we're actually going to be going to you semi-live-ish. Definitely not long after the event. We're going to a Nintendo showcase in Toronto. So hopefully we'll get some cool interviews, get some neat hands-on time with some stuff.
Hopefully, and all this stuff he had a hand in.
Well, that's another thing too. This is a really quick turnaround for a Nintendo of America event so long after such a big corporate shakeup. So yeah. I'll be very curious to see what the mood is like, kind of going into that. So, So we'll bring you that next week here on the Prototype. We also got some more shows coming up. We are doing more, like, as we often promise. But now, me and Jamie, you're pretty much on the same sleep schedule, which is, frankly, fucked up.
A very horrible sleep schedule. Yep. Now, yeah. Now I'm as messed up as you. So
we're basically vampires.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyway, guys. So until next time for the Prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd,
and I've been Jamie JJ Johnston. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for playing.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah.
That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.